You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. It's Nissan's Winter Warrior event. Lease or finance from 0% or get up to $6,000 in standard rate finance cash on select models. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Brian Hayes, Jennifer Hedger in here. Big hour with Marcellus Wiley coming up in about 5 minutes. He's down in Miami, and it's media night for the Super Bowl. And as we talked about recently, it's going to be a really strange conversation and vibe down there, because as much as the media, they're goofy anyway.
It's a clown show.
It's always a total clown show. It's a clickbait circus. Who can get a player to do or say something ridiculous that can go viral? But with the passing of Kobe Bryant and with the sports world reeling from that, you know that's going to be a part of the conversation tonight. So I would expect that there will be some somber moments, maybe some actual humanity shown.
Yeah, some reflection by the players about maybe some of them, maybe Kobe was an inspiration to them, or maybe they knew him. I feel like the whole thing has to do with tone, Brian, and these things unfortunately occur. People die. There are tragedies. And tone is such a hard thing, because for people in the media, this has been, we've been 24/7 on this now for the last, 30 hours. And even on this show, you're like, well, we're going to talk about Kobe. How much Kobe do we need, or should we talk about? How much do people want to hear more about this? And it's hard, because there's a sense where, okay, it was sad. We've heard a lot about it. Let's move on. The Leafs are playing tonight. And then for other people, it's like, well, how disrespectful are you talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs when Kobe Bryant just died tragically? It's kind of one of those editorial things where I don't know if there's a wrong answer or a right answer. You kind of just got to go with feel. But how long do you talk about?
Yeah, there's no playbook for this. I mean, I brought up the connection to the Roy Halladay passing a couple of years ago, where the timing of that was different. It was midweek. And the news started trickling out around 2:30 in the afternoon. And by 3:30, we knew it was him. It was his plane. He's died. He's gone. You're on the air at 4. And at that point, you kind of go into the old, like, Lloyd Robertson mode, where you feel like you're informing people. You know, people are jumping in their car or turning on TV, and they're not aware of the news. Like, we assume, because I live on my phone and, I get emails, I'm checking Twitter or whatever. I swear I saw that TMZ tweet, the original tweet that Kobe had died, within like 45 seconds of them posting it.
Right.
I don't think I missed it by more than a minute or two. But that's not real life.
No.
Like, other people have different things going on and are not familiar with it.
I was at a hockey tournament yesterday, and I get the email from the SportsCenter newsroom, which would have been, again, seconds after this TMZ put it out. And I look at my phone and I said, oh my goodness, Kobe Bryant died. And there's all these parents standing around. I said, Kobe Bryant died in a helicopter crash. And then 2 hours later, some dad runs into the dressing room and says, did you guys hear that Kobe Bryant died? And to me, that just seemed like old news. That was 2 hours ago, dude.
Right.
But not everybody is quite as addicted to their news feeds as we are working in the business. And you're talking about informing people, and there's also misinforming people, right? So you have to also understand how much information can we give, how much information is correct, because the worst thing you can do is misinform someone.
Well, and again, like, this isn't about me. Hey, look at me. I've done these types of shows. I'm a hero. But now that, it was the news was out, we were aware of exactly what happened. For the most part, we know that 9 people died on the helicopter. Kobe was one of them. His 13-year-old daughter was one of them. By the time we got on the air at 4, I knew that. I believe most people knew that. With Halladay, it was totally different. No one knew what was going on. No one, and I remember being on the air kind of relying on people behind the scenes to give me more updates. And
we had to wait for the police officer to say a plane has gone down and it is, in fact, Roy Halladay's aircraft.
Right. And I was saying to Hedge, like, you were on that date. That felt more like we were like a news desk, like keeping people up to date. Like, here's what we think is going on. Here's what we're hearing. Here's what's being reported. And then at the same time, once it dawns on you, you start to look back on his life, his career, it almost seems impossible. Halladay was 40, Kobe's 41. Internationally, Kobe is clearly, one of the biggest sports stars of the 21st century. Halladay didn't necessarily have that title, but in our city, he was huge. He was an icon. He was a guy who was here for a long time, one of the great Blue Jays of all time. So it was an eerie kind of nostalgic feeling yesterday.
Here we go.
Waiting
again.
For it and being like, okay, is this real? Did it actually happen? And then it dawns on you like it's him. He's gone. Like it happened.
To me, it felt and, too. I remember because last night again, it was like watching. You want to see the footage. You want to hear people remembering. It reminded me of again. This is a long time ago when Princess Diana died, and going home and seeing that on CNN and thinking, no, this can't be the case. And then the news trickles out.
You keep waiting for someone to say
we were wrong.
But you, if that person would have been Kobe Bryant, right? He would have went on Twitter and said, hello, everyone. Like, that's not me.
Yeah.
Like, I believe a couple of years ago, somebody wrongly reported that Pat Burns had passed away.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he wasn't. Like, he was alive and not, I don't think he was particularly well, but he said, guys, like, I'm here. I'm not gone.
Right. Yeah. It was, I think it was Bob McKenzie who said, like, I can report courtesy of Pat Burns,
right,
who I just talked to.
That Pat
alive.
Burns is alive.
Yeah. And he was sick, and he was, you know, he wasn't on his deathbed, but he was closing in on the end of his life. But you're right, I remember that. And, like, yesterday, there were reports, erroneous reports, that Rick Fox was on the helicopter.
It's scary.
And what's scary about that is, you know, I get mad at myself because I'm like, I don't even know who said that. You know, was it some Twitter egg with four followers that just... And it got retweeted enough where all of a sudden it becomes something where we're looking out for it?
Well, there were some people that reporting, like, watch what you say. We don't even know the whereabouts of Rick Fox. I'm like, well, now you just put it in my head that Rick Fox.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. It's like,
why? Yeah, exactly. And then Rick Fox, eventually someone reached out to him. He's like, I wasn't on the helicopter. But, again, it's Super Bowl week, and we catch up with Marcellus Wiley every week. A lot of times we talk about his hometown, and we talk about his team, the Clippers, and Clippers were scheduled to play the Lakers tomorrow night at Staples Center, and that game has been postponed. But he's a big basketball fan, and he's a guy from L.A. that lives in L.A., and you know him from FS1 and longtime NFLer. Here is Marcellus Wiley. As an L.A. guy, Marcellus, how did you receive the news of Kobe passing away yesterday?
Oh, devastating, heartbreaking. You just couldn't believe it. You know, one of the stages of grief and healing is the denial. And I remember I was on the way to the airport to head down to Miami for the Super Bowl. So I get the alert, and I just thought I was being trolled. I thought someone was just doing a nasty, stupid prank. I couldn't believe it as I was reading it. And especially me on the way to an airplane, and he just supposedly had just passed in a helicopter. So just knowing Kobe over the years, being able to work with him so often, being able to see him outside the game and see him go through his highs and lows and the growing pains of plucking a kid because of his greatness in basketball and throwing him in the L.A. market and letting him become a living legend and an icon. But also going through those experiences, the highs and lows, you just had to take your hat off to his commitment to his craft and the distance that he traveled from his low points, obviously in Colorado, to who he became as a family man and devoted husband and father of four. So defeating as an athlete, as a person, to see that he sacrificed so much to live out this second act of his life. And he won't be able to do that. All those balls he dribbled, all those shots he made, all those championships he won was to play it forward for greater good. And he can't even live and bask in the joy of those experiences with his family and his kids, man. It's just so sad. No matter who you are, you had to feel something from this one, man. Life's not promised, and he became a living example of that statement.
Marcellus, obviously on both sides of the border, we're talking about this. I'm sure it's a story internationally. What's it like in Miami right now? All the media has descended on Miami for Super Bowl, and then this happens. Has it cast a pall over everything? I assume people are talking about it.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a measured experience right now because everyone has a lesser energy than normal if this would have occurred, obviously, because it preoccupies your thoughts. And it's deeper than just sports. It's touching you at your humanity levels, like a father. The father in me is so devastated imagining that I was in that situation, imagining that if I were holding my kid, imagining that not only are you holding your kid or around your kid with that fatal ending, but you're going to depart and divorce your family forever. Like, whatever those leading moments were. I mean, I think everyone is just walking around living out episodes in their head of putting them in Kobe's place or just the mark he made in your life, whether it was his greatness on the court, his commitment. It just hurts to see someone so amazing. And I always talk about the three T's, time, talent, and treasure. We all have those gifts to give. Time, talent, and treasure in some respect. And Kobe, because of his talents and his treasure, was not allowed to borrow from that to give himself more time. How messed up is this world at times when you can't add up a great life like that and still be able to live through that existence? His sacrifice will never be fully paid off, and that's sad.
With Marcellus Wiley, our NFL insider, he's from L.A., Clippers fan. They decided to postpone that game tomorrow night. You think that's the right move?
I don't, actually. Especially when the news hit and they were doing tributes yesterday, and we saw games played yesterday, I thought that they would just continue. And obviously it's going to be painful. Obviously that's part of the process, but it's therapeutic to talk about it. It's also therapeutic to play and kind of compartmentalize and put yourself in a place of solace, which is on that court, and go out there and for 3 hours at least, try your best to live through his spirit, live through his existence. But, you know, I'm not upset that they postponed it, but I thought because I saw action yesterday that I would see action tomorrow as well for them.
Yeah, I think they isolate the Lakers and every other team in the NBA. I had no issue with, you know, the Raptors were playing yesterday afternoon within an hour of the news breaking. And there's other games tonight. There'll be other games tomorrow night. You know, his connection to L.A. and to that organization, considering the, you know, the magnitude of the game, both teams being involved, Kawhi, Paul George, they both idolized him. I understand it. It's easy to postpone because you both play in the same building. You can find another date down the road. But as for the Super Bowl, you know, where are we going with this? We won't catch up again until Monday. How are you feeling now that we get back into the real stuff here with the game itself? Are you leaning Chiefs? Are you leaning Niners? How do you feel about this matchup?
Oh, I hear the drum roll. man, this is going to be a well-contested game. This is going to be so fun. You talk about Patrick Mahomes going against another top five defense. Even though in his career he's 7-0 against top five pass defenses. So he's not affected by who he's going against and who he's facing. He's still going to be Patrick Mahomes. So I say slight edge Kansas City Chiefs. I just think that the receiving core is going to be able to compromise the secondary of the 49ers. I think it'll be a close ball game. But I'm looking for the Chiefs and that track team that they put out there, minus the batons, just running open in that zone coverage and being able to exploit the 49ers. They gave up 46 to New Orleans. And Michael Thomas is a monster, but that's not the same receiving core that the 49ers are going to see right now. So I think it's going to be slight-ass Chiefs.
Marcellus, if you were running any one of these two teams, what would your ideas be about curfew and as far as guys going out? When would it start? When would it stop? And what would kind of be the limit on it?
Yeah, I would lean on routine, obviously, because you just don't want guys to have paralysis by analysis. You know, that can happen if you say, all right, everyone locked in and 11 o'clock on Monday. And you're like, the hell? Do you know what I usually do on a Monday, coach? It's not this. So if you want what you see on Sundays, then you better see what you want to not see on Monday. So let me live, brother. Yeah, it's funny, Deion Sanders and Jerry Rice actually had a private beef over this when they were in the Super Bowl together, because Jerry was Mr. Lock It Down and Stay Focused. And Deion was like, look, dude, I've been great at what I do because I'm great at what I do off the court, off the field as well. So Deion lived his life and Jerry locked himself in and they both played amazing. So I think whatever floats your boat, don't get off of that. Don't try and change your course, because we all been there. A big test. Oh, God, let me lock in. Yeah, be prepared fully, but don't go to a place where you overcorrect and you actually start to inhibit your spirit and your freedom in those moments. Let these guys live about Thursday. Hey, let's bring it in Friday for sure. Let's lock it down at the latest, and Saturday, get ready, man, because it's going to be a game that defines your life.
Marcellus, it is media night tonight, correct?
Somewhere out there, yeah.
Are you going or you're not going?
Hell no, I'm not going. I'll be press clippings tomorrow. This is Miami, brother. I'm Dion when I'm in Miami. I am not Jerry Rice. I am okay.
Okay, tell me what your plan is then. What are you doing tonight?
Right now, I'm helping the bartender lose some of his stash. And then after that, I'm going to just hang out with a few friends from the show, a few execs. And, man, it's just a reunion when you're out here. It's so good. You got teammates left and right that you play with. You got idols that you looked up to when you were growing up. Hall of Famers are just walking by you and bumping elbows. And it's just craziness, man. Everyone's down here because of their love and their infatuation with the game of football. And it's just a great place to be. So it feels like Miami's just one big frat house, man. You're just walking around seeing all your buds. It's so cool.
Yeah, that would be all right. I wouldn't mind getting down there one of these years.
Well, it's nice to say media day. I'm actually not going.
Yeah, not interested in that. Nothing's really going to come out of it. And, you know, we all know the storylines. And, like, Mahomes is the star of the week, and he deserves to be. He should be. He is. But unless he is absolutely horrendous, which he's not going to be, his reputation is intact. Like, if I'm of both these quarterbacks, the true opportunity for a coming out party and to make a statement, it lies in the hands of Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, if Garoppolo can go off and have himself a game, I mean, that will truly put him on the national level in terms of recognition, because there's a lot of doubt and trepidation when it comes to his game. Like, if he lights it up, man, he's going to get a lot of love.
Yeah, man, he needs that moment, a signature moment, because it then will attach itself to his body of work, which is really insane. Like, he's lost 5 games total. This dude is insane. He's putting up – Patrick Mahomes is number one in scoring offense since he's been in the league. And guess who's number two? It's Jimmy Garoppolo, man. People are not giving him his proper due, because he doesn't have a signature moment. It's something that they say in basketball a lot. It's like, you need that signature series or signature moment. But it's football related as well. When you see a guy who continuously wins, continuously puts his team in position to win, whether he has to be the game manager one game or he has to go out there and light it up like he did against New Orleans. Like, whatever you need, I got you. And the biggest boost to his confidence has to come from the belief that Bill Belichick had in him, to the point where he wanted Jimmy G to be the successor to Tom Brady. So I think Jimmy is just waiting for the world to recognize what he already knows, which is, at one point I was the highest paid quarterback only after 7 games played. And literally I have a body of work that says I am an ultimate winner. I just need that moment of championship moment to make everyone else believe.
Enjoy it down there, Marcellus. Make sure you get on the air tomorrow. I mean, I know you're a pro, but if you're getting after it tonight, right, you got to show up tomorrow and get that microphone on.
Yeah, man. That's the only thing that can mess this all up.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm not showing up for the game. Yeah, so I'll be there, brother.
All right, man. Enjoy it. Enjoy the weekend. We'll do it again next week.
All right. Take care, brothers. Have a great one.
There's Marcellus Wiley down in South Beach covering the Super Bowl on FS1. And, yeah, I mean,
that's a pretty
fun
good
game.
Gig.
Not a bad gig.
Yeah.
Not a bad gig. South Beach. Like, this is it. Like, it's not just a clever name. The Super Bowl, everyone in American sports media is down.
Have you ever been to one?
I have not.
Have you ever been, Owen?
I had one of the greatest weekends of my life. Played TPC Sawgrass in the morning. Went to the Super Bowl. Then
was this obviously probably the Patriots. I've been in almost every one in the last decade.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. It was the last time Andy Reid was in the Super Bowl. It was Eagles-Patriots in Jacksonville. I think that was 03.
05, I think, yeah.
That's a long time ago, man.
Andy Reid still looking for that elusive first Super Bowl ring.
Still wearing those Hawaiian shirts and looking 9 months pregnant.
He loves it, man. Universally loved, Andy Reid. We talked about that last
week. Loves football, just loves everything about it, and everybody loves him.
Yeah, he just, like, in a sport like that where it's so loud and vicious and nasty and mean and coaches, you're always thinking they're up to no good. Like, you just think of Belichick. You're like, I can't like that guy. Andy Reid, who doesn't like Andy Reid?
He just seems kind of lovable. He reminds me of the, what was the walrus, that golfer?
Craig Stadler.
Yeah, Stadler. He just kind of reminds me of him. Someone's uncle, good guy.
Andy Reid.
Reader.
Back in the Super Bowl. Leafs in action tonight. We'll continue to tee that up down in Nashville. And again, tomorrow night, Lakers-Clippers was scheduled to be played at the Staples Center. It has been postponed. So we'll touch more on that decision. Interesting answer from Marcellus Wiley, who's a former athlete himself, about what he would prefer to see tomorrow night. We'll get into that and more coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, big-time Budweiser Super Bowl viewing party coming up. Get your tickets today for the official Budweiser Super Bowl viewing party, Sunday, February 2nd at Rebel, complete with a massive 34-foot widescreen TV, food and drink specials, live entertainment, prizes, and complimentary shuttles to Union Station. That is clutch.
That helps.
You need the shuttles. Visit RebelToronto.com for your free ticket. Love it.
Where are you watching the game?
I am thinking I'm probably going to be at my house. Mm-hmm. I have a four-year-old who will be in kindergarten the next day and a nine-month-old
right.
who will likely be kind of in and out of the game in terms of...
So will you have, like, solitude? Will you be able to shut the door?
No. Might have some people over. No. Might have some people over. That has not been confirmed or denied. Nothing has been really confronted one way or the other in terms of what we're planning on doing. But I know I'm not leaving the house.
Right.
Put it that way. I'm not going to a Super Bowl party. Maybe.
Some like-minded individuals might come join you in your own home.
And that's probably actually not going to end up happening. So I would think I end up just sitting on the same couch I'm on every single night.
Right.
And I watch the game.
But that's best sometimes. That's best. I hate it when people come over and they want to chit-chat. You know, yeah, people come over, they go, so who's playing? Come on. Mm-hmm. If you don't know who's playing, you shouldn't be here.
Well,
you just don't invite them over, period.
Where are you watching it, Al?
I'll be just at home, same as him. Same couch.
Yeah.
By myself, forming my own opinions.
I remember watching the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, Pats Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of the most epic games of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Like 28-3, we all know it. And my daughter was asleep. My wife, I think, fallen asleep on the couch. And I'm just sitting there watching this game. And I'm processing it. I'm like, I know what's happening here. Like, I can see it.
The comeback is on.
He's
going to
happen. And they're going to win in overtime. Like, it's happening. They're going to win the coin toss. They're going to go down the field. Matt Hasselbeck. We're going to win it. We're going to go score. And I knew it. And he scores, and I'm just looking around. I'm like, all right, I guess I'm on my own here. Like, here, let's go. SportsCenter, when's Duffy up?
You sometimes want to share that experience, though, don't you? Don't you want to?
Where did Hasselbeck come into it?
That's
just, when he said, give me the ball?
Yeah, remember against Green Bay? He's like, we're going to, tails, and we're going to win it and score. It's like, actually, no, you're not Hasselbeck.
Not.
Like that, he had a pretty good career, but that's all I can really remember out of him. Because it was at Lambeau, and it was...
Now, are you guys J-Lo guys?
I'll get down with some J-Lo at the half.
Yeah, I would think so.
Who else is...
Shakira.
Right.
Shakira. I feel like Shakira might surprise a few people.
Shakira is outstanding.
She is. I think she's going to open a few.
Were either of them at the Grammys last night?
I don't think so.
Their wheelhouse? Like,
no.
I didn't see J-Lo and...
No, I don't think so.
Shakira.
I feel like there were some boycotts of the Grammys this year. Like, there seemed like there were a lot of people that weren't there. Like, Beyonce wasn't there.
Oh, really?
Taylor Swift wasn't there.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
How could the show possibly go on?
Well, they had Lizzo, as you know.
I'm a fan of Lizzo.
Nothing
I gotta be
wrong
honest.
With a little Lizzo.
I think she's outstanding.
But it kind of went downhill. I saw the Jonas Brothers, and I was out.
Yeah, see, Billie Eilish, like, won the whole night. And we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not really a fan, but my understanding is that she's like...
What was the guy's name?
It's a girl.
It's a girl. She's 18. Her name's Billie Eilish. It's her and her brother. It's a two-person band.
She's got that song, Bad Guy.
Yeah, you would know her stuff. It's on everywhere. But apparently she's, like, outstanding. Yeah. Like, obviously, she's winning all these awards, but, like, she's actually creating unique music. And
if
you're into music, you should appreciate that she's kind of cutting her own path or whatever you want
innovative,
to call it.
Innovative, whatever you want to
she's
say.
An innovative artist.
She's not doing duets with Billy Ray Cyrus.
Right. She's not hooking up with the chain smokers anytime soon. That's not on her to-do list.
The chain smokers were like, they were on the NHL beat for a while. I feel like they did like an all-star game, and then they did an awards ceremony.
That's right.
They kind of had the triple bill there with the NHL.
Yeah, they got really big there for a while, and I guess they still are. They're still knocking out songs.
They ashed out the chain smokers, didn't they?
I don't know if they're on the radar.
I feel like I don't know if there's been a follow-up album. I think we're eagerly awaiting the follow-up.
Yeah, we're waiting for some more content from the Chainsmokers to really have a read on it. Anyway, Leafs in action tonight. They're in Nashville. You can hear the game on TSN Radio. Watch it on TSN4. And I guess we've already been into the second half for a while, but this kind of feels like, okay, it's go time. And I was looking at the standings this morning because I kind of took the weekend, like I said earlier, the All-Star break, I just try to escape from the NHL. I'm just not interested. I'm not into it.
There's nothing to watch. There's nothing to see.
Yeah, and I don't, if you're into it, cool. I'm not here to be on a pulpit to tell you that it's the worst thing of all time.
But it's not real.
Yeah, and for the market itself, for the kids, for the sponsors and all that kind of stuff, it's important. I get why the league does it. I get it. It's a promotional tool. They should. I get no problem with that. But for me personally, I escape and I'm out of here. And I looked at the standings this morning. I can only see four teams in the league that are, like, definitively in. Like, they're in and they're rock stars. Washington, Boston, Pittsburgh, and St. Louis. I think Colorado is close. I think the Islanders are, although they were dipping a little bit going into the break. There's four teams that are, like, they're in. They're going to be players between now and the trade deadline. If they're healthy come playoff time, I might pick them to win the cup. And there's more teams that are definitively out. Detroit, Ottawa, New Jersey, L.A., Anaheim, and I think San Jose are out. So you got a big middle ground where there are some teams like the Rangers who aren't really in it, but they're kind of there.
They're sniffing around where they might make a run and be right. Like, oh, maybe we get a guy as opposed to getting rid of a guy.
Right, exactly. And there are teams on the other end that, like, again, Colorado, I think, is in. I think they're a really good team. I think Dallas is probably in. I think they're a good team. But I can't say 100% that they're definitely getting there without it getting scary or a little bit tight at some point. So you got a big middle ground here with 30 to 35 games to go.
The mushy middle?
The mushy middle. That's exactly what it is. It's the parody NHL where anything can happen and there's a lot of balls in the air. And I guess if you're Toronto and from a Maple Leaf perspective, they're in that group. You were hoping they would be in the group with Washington and Boston. Tampa's another team they're in, but not quite to that extent. Not to that level of confidence.
They're in.
But they're in. They're like Colorado. They're going to get in. They're a good team. But, you know, Toronto's got 33 games to determine who they are, what this season's going to represent. And, you know, we'll find out a lot about this team based on tonight.
We talked about it earlier. This next 33-game set, like, we're getting into February, and then it's like trade deadline, and after that, it is gone in a split second. So there is no time to, like, it's got to be go time starting tonight.
Absolutely.
There's no other way around it.
Their coach dropped the mic. The last time we heard from Sheldon Keefe, he called his team immature. He said they were showing signs of immaturity. The game against Chicago before the break, the game in Florida, both blowouts, both no-shows, both just pathetic games and efforts from both from the team. But tonight is a game you talk about immaturity. Mm-hmm. Like, tonight is just as much of
a... By the way, there is no time for immaturity in the timeline and cycles in the National Hockey League right now. Because you go from 23 to 24, and you look at Winnipeg. They're kind of in it right now, where they were draft and develop. And their guys became good players. And then all of a sudden, if you don't hit on some of those opportunities in the last two or three years where they were, like, viewed as a good team, all of a sudden your window has gone from draft and develop to superstars to all of a sudden you're not going to win.
When you're talking about... Go ahead.
Your time to strike is right now for these guys. Like, they're good players at 22, 23. That's go time. It's not immaturity time or whatever else it is. It's go time right now. Because in 3 or 4 years, you're going to be like, oh, we got an aging group now. That's how fast it happens.
It can happen quickly.
We'll see if they're ready to play tonight. One thing we didn't see this bye week, we didn't see pictures in Cabo. We didn't see the boys deep sea fishing, catching swordfish on boats. We didn't see any.
I would imagine they were told to just absolutely shut that down.
It was radio silence from all those players. So that, I would think, is a good sign that perhaps they are locking it down. Not that they didn't go and do have a good time and unwind a little bit, but maybe they are thinking a little bit more. This is business. This is a business trip, and we gotta show up in Nashville and show up when the puck drops, not beginning of the second period, because that was the malaise that was getting them earlier in the season.
Yeah, I don't have that.
You don't have a good feeling about tonight,
no.
Do you?
It's not that I don't have a good feeling. It's that just because we didn't see it didn't mean it wasn't happening. I think a lot of times the standings determine how open you are. And what have you done for me lately determines what you're going to be doing on social media. And listen, it's their own lives. They don't have to show anything. They don't have to explain anything. It's their personal time. They're on a bike. Go live your life. But what I'm saying is if they smoked Chicago Saturday night and were 12 points into the playoffs, I think the boys are, hey, we're at the club tonight. Check out this picture. That's smart.
They had their day off in Florida.
Yeah.
Crap the bed.
Don't promote it when it's not rolling for you, because people, whether it's right or wrong, people are going to take it the wrong way. Mm-hmm. Some people will. Some people will look at it as if these guys were going to spend the past week on the ice, six hours a day.
Well, I think Jason Spezza didn't he?
Yeah. Spezza probably did.
I think Spezza did.
Spezza probably did. But anyway, we'll see starting tonight. 33 games. They're 4 points out of a playoff spot. And it starts tonight in Nashville. You can hear that right here on TSN Radio. Watch it on TSN4. We'll come back and get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Again, the Lakers-Clippers game tomorrow night has been postponed. We'll touch on that a little bit more and continue to look back on what has been a really difficult 32 hours in the sports world with the passing of Kobe Bryant yesterday. Overdrive continues TSN 1050 and on TSN2. All right, time now for our best bet brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NHL board tonight, two awful teams in Ottawa, so I will take the home team in Ottawa. I think the Ottawa Senators are going to win tonight. Nashville-Toronto. This is crazy, but I'm going under the number. Defensive shutdown tonight.
What's the number?
6.5.
Oh, yeah. They can't score. Ray said it.
Nashville can't. Leafs can, though. And the Leafs can't stop anything.
Of a 3-2 score.
There you go. I like it. Under the number. And two bad teams out in California. Again, I will take the home team, San Jose over Anaheim. You can throw down 20. You can score 90. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN 1050 Radio, and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So Leafs in Nashville tonight, right here on TSN Radio and up on TSN 4 tomorrow night. The Lakers were expected to play the Clippers, and that game has been postponed. So the NBA decided to postpone that game. The Lakers have issued a statement, and obviously they're on board with it as well.
Last time an NBA game was canceled under these circumstances, like not weather, but actually something awful happening, 2013, after the Boston Marathon bombings. And then before that, you got to go all the way back to the Kennedy assassination.
Really?
Yeah, so it doesn't happen very often, that's for sure.
Wow.
Thank goodness.
Well, and it was a tragedy. I mean, there's no other way to define it. 9 people dying, Kobe Bryant being 41 years old. We were just talking about him all weekend because LeBron had passed him. The last thing he tweeted out was, you know, congratulations to LeBron. And he won an Oscar, mm-hmm. and he was heavily involved in Hollywood and investing.
Yeah, and who knows all the elements that went into it. I mean, his family could have said, you know, do you mind not playing tomorrow? Who knows? It's heavy stuff.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, prior to the news coming out that they had postponed the game, we were talking about that. All the minor details that go into it in terms of how you salute and celebrate Kobe Bryant, the mood in the building, the tone, the security, you know, all the way down to, like, do you put patches on the jerseys? Like, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure how they were planning on handling it.
Guests, everything.
Like, exactly.
It's a big-time...
People
are going to want to be there.
Out?
Well, and Ramona Shelburne also was tweeting out regarding that, just saying that Kobe has been a part of the Lakers for 20 years and that people who work in that building knew him and love him and have a relationship with him. So to ask them to come into work tomorrow night and perform their jobs was just asking too much for that many people. And also, as we were saying, just getting it right, because you want to have the right tone for that. And it's still a big game. It's between the Lakers and the Clippers, two teams that are actually playing for something,
right,
even though it doesn't feel like it, with Kobe's death sort of looming over the whole thing. But I think it's the right decision for them not to play tomorrow night.
Yeah, like I've been saying, I think the Lakers, you treat them differently than the other 29 teams in the league. You know, other NBA games are going to be happening happening tonight, tomorrow. The NBA will continue, as we know, but the Lakers, obviously, with their connection to him, with the sudden news, we're trying to handle it and just, I guess, find a way to deal with your emotions. You know, that's asking a lot before a game tomorrow night. So they made that decision. We'll see where the NBA goes from here. Like, Kobe's going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Kobe's this is his year, in. Right?
He's
this
going
is
in.
A big class this year.
Arguably the greatest class of all time. Kobe, Tim Duncan, and Kevin Garnett all going in. Mm-hmm. And
again, that's one of those things where I think we were all looking at this year as being like, wow, this is just going to be amazing to see these three guys go in together and hear their Hall of Fame speeches and be able to relive these careers. And now it's going to be totally different.
Well, David Stern passed away early in the month as well. Like, you talk about the beginning of a year and a decade for the NBA. David Stern, who was a giant within the game, he passes away, and now Kobe dies tragically yesterday in a helicopter crash. And both of them will be, you know, remembered. Both of them will be a big part of the conversation the rest of the year. But the thing about a guy like Kobe, you know, again, a one-named athlete, a true icon of the sport. I would say it's him and LeBron in terms of the NBA in the 21st century. And we're still relatively, you know, early on in terms of the century. But, you know, by the time we turn the clock on the year 2100, we're still going to be talking about Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we probably won't be around, which is a morbid thought. But, like, that's how big he was. Yeah. That's how great he was. That's how long he played. You know, that's what he accomplished. I mean,
I was just thinking, like, Kobe is younger or was younger than Vince Carter is right now.
Right.
Like, that's just wild.
Mm-hmm. Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
Like, there's still players playing, big-name players that older than Kobe. And it felt like we were just watching him play. Like, I guess ESPN is going to replay his final game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Where he scored 60 points, and that was incredible. But it was just one of the many, many moments. You know, five-time NBA champ, MVP, went to the All-Star game, I want to say 18 times. Final All-Star game was in 16 here in Toronto. I remember that. Like, that was a big, big moment. It was all about, you know, celebrating Kobe Bryant at that point. And
it's amazing how you can look back at things with different eyes now, because I was never a Kobe Bryant fan. I was always a Chicago Bulls fan. I was a Michael Jordan fan, so I always hated the Lakers. And then Kobe's part of the Lakers, so I can't cheer for this guy. And, of course, what they did to he and the Lakers did to the Raptors every year. So I was never a fan of Kobe Bryant. I never had the jersey. I obviously appreciated what an amazing basketball player he was, but I was always the person rooting against him. I thought he was arrogant. You know, I thought that he wasn't a team guy. And even on his last game, I was like, oh, for goodness sake, this guy's got to go and score 60 points in his last game.
On 50 shots.
On 50 shots. Yeah, you've ever heard of passing the ball? But now I look back at it, and it was just, it's all part of his legend, you know? It
was
part of
for people that are like us, that are from a distance, that's all you have left.
Yeah.
To appreciate the player that he was and what he did on the court and the championships and how dominant he was.
And his impact.
That's all he got left.
Yeah, I had the same experience as you, Hedge. Like, I'm not a Laker fan. Yeah. I was never a diehard Kobe fan. I always appreciated his talents and what he brought. I mean, who didn't on the court? Mm-hmm. Like, he's one of the all-time great players. And as I said earlier, I remember vividly watching those 81 points against the Raptors. And thinking at the time, like, dude, just relax. Like, pass the ball
enough,
off.
Enough,
because, it was my team, and the Raptors were brutal anyway. Yeah. And you're like, even if, you know, you're going to win the game, and I'm sure you could have put up 65 or 70 and spread the ball around a little bit. And I was always kind of like, now here we go. Like, the Raptors are already just a punching bag. Yeah. They're already a punch line in the NBA. And now, of course, Kobe goes off for 81. Like, it had to be against them. But now I'm glad it happened against them, because that's why I watched. Like, if he did it against New Orleans, I wouldn't have been watching.
And it was, he always had it against with Steve Nash. And I was always a Steve Nash fan. I was like, well, if I'm going to cheer for a team in the West, it's going to be a Canadiens team, you know, playing with the Suns. And,
right.
And it was always, Kobe was always the one foiling his championship dreams. And then they were teammates, but too late in Nash's career to make it happen.
Yeah, and truly, you know, a tragic tragic news yesterday. And his 13-year-old daughter, you know, eight other people on the helicopter. And so it's not just the Bryant family, the Laker family, the sporting world grieving. I mean, there's a number of families and communities that were, you know, altered drastically, tragically yesterday. And
you think about the baseball coach, him and his wife passed away, his daughter passed away, and there's two other kids in the family that are left with no family.
Right.
It's just incredible.
Yeah, it's incredibly sad. And, you know, as much as I want to know more about the details, I mean, it's not going to change anything for me. You know, I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was a mechanical issue. I don't know if it was the fog.
It is eerie, though, to look back. There are some, you know, some quotes and some tweets coming out about Kobe referring to his helicopter and being late for practice. And he said, you know, some people say their car stalled, whatever. Well, he's like, my helicopter got fogged in. And when you hear those quotes now, it's like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I was. My wife was talking to one of her really close friends who's from LA and lives in Calabasas, mm-hmm. lives right not
where
far from Kobe. Yeah, and where the crash happened. And she said, if you live in LA long enough, you saw Kobe's helicopter. Mm-hmm. Like it just would travel up and down the 101, and you'd be like, there's Kobe. He's going mm-hmm. to practice, or he's going to a game, or he's going somewhere. And
how lucky for him, that he gets to avoid the traffic.
At the time, you're thinking that was his explanation. I'm going to get home quicker. I'm going to be able to see my wife, kids, or whatever. Anyway, Hedge, thanks for stepping in today. As always, we appreciate it.
Always love to be here, guys.
Noodles will be back tomorrow. Leafs are up next down in Nashville. Enjoy that. Enjoy your evenings. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Scarborough Nissan is one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. Happy New Year from everyone at Scarborough Nissan. Safety first. Please remember, don't drink and drive. The Winter Warrior Sales event is on now. Take advantage of lease and finance rates as low as 0% APR on select models OAC or up to $6,000 standard rate finance cash on select models. Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Visit them on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Avenue. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com. You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. It's Nissan's Winter Warrior event. Lease or finance from 0% or get up to $6,000 in standard rate finance cash on select models. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.